Thank you. One of the things I'd like to touch on is an obvious thing, but it's not been the central topic here, which is this has all been about teaching and empowering students and enhancing their experience. And that's where many of you live, and that's your bread and butter, and that's important. But I think there's also a co-occurring opportunity with the evolution of these tools and awareness to actually do some science while we're at it. And partly it's to clean up some of the discrepancies and the discontinuities of what we encounter. And so I hope that's probably, if it was any one thing here, it's that I want you to take away with you is that thought in the context of the parent material list. So what we're trying to do is because of this product, it came up with the idea of talking about parent materials. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to step back for a moment and talk about soil systems a little bit, soil landscape systems, because the catenary base of much of what we understand about soil relationships of one soil type to another across the landscape has been an intrinsic part of what we do, but it's been in the last few decades it's gotten lost back in the brush somewhere. And so it's sort of intuitively implied, but it's not always evident. And it's been our loss because it's a good tool for corroborating if what we say makes any sense or not. And anyway, so two basic ideas of soil systems that are really helpful. One of them is that a catena is what they are, a recurring group of soils across landscapes from the high ground to the low ground, that sequence of recurring soils. And the idea that groups of catenas dominate physiographic areas and form constitute soil systems. And they do include the interaction, or they're derived from the interaction of stratigraphy primarily, plus hydrology, geomorphology, and the climate, and throw in the veg if you want. So stratigraphy and parent materials that compose that stratigraphy are an integral part of the idea of soil systems. And a good example of this is this pioneering work that was done by Ray Daniels and some others some years ago in North Carolina, where they took a geographic area, and they broke it up and said, well, what do we see? Let's look at it, and what do we find? We find that there are recurring patterns of major groups of catenas that really define physiographic areas. You can delineate them. You can find them across the landscapes. And that's all good stuff. So let's do that. So this is the primary product from that effort, that early effort, and state of North Carolina, and they identified three physiographic areas which were prominent, and within each one of those there were 3 to 9 major catenas that were recurring and could be captured that described most of the soils and the relationships in those areas. So let's do that. Let's go take a look. If you've never been there, out to the lower coastal plain in the Carolinas, you don't know anything about it. But if you have a catena that describes that area and you portray it in a simplistic but evocative way, you can really get up to speed pretty fast, and this is really important to students. And we'll use a two-dimensional example here from their document, and you're seeing... What do you see? You've got scales on this little sketch. And you can tell that you only have several meters of vertical relief over several kilometers of lateral relief, so you're getting a very flat landscape. But because of the vertical exaggeration, you can show the microtopography that does translate into differences in soil properties and morphology. Okay? They threw in, and the way I wanted to get to here is just talk about a little bit about, in passing, a nod towards the fact that they added... included the parent materials after fashion to communicate that, yes, in fact, that certain soil types are related to different combinations of parent material, and that we can articulate that, and you can find this pattern again and again across a given area. So, we all know this, that the catenas are closely linked to parent materials, which they are, and we sometimes forget that that gives us a link to being able to articulate non-random variability. The random stuff is stuff we don't understand and we're just stuck with it, but there are quite a bit of variability that we can speak to, and catenas are the entry doing so. And we can also do it within map units, that if you understand the system, you can specify, even if it isn't shown on a web soil survey or some other inventory product, that you can describe that, yes, in fact, that within this area, in the low areas, you're going to find certain things, and that's different than the higher spots. And that can be very communicative and very helpful. So, Milne did that work back in the day, laid that out for us, and the combination of catenas and groups of catenas in soil systems are the link to soil processes and properties. So it's a big deal, and we all know this, and I'm boring you. But, so, punchline. We want to, in the context of the IC project, it was apparent that that project is going down a road, which other programs have wrestled with too, and so I think there's some common ground that would be beneficial to both parties, and that is the idea that when you're in a given location, whether it's a county or a state, and Daryl often mentions this evolution of how you've gone through this, that within, as long as you stay within your limited context, you can be very specific and very colloquial, and it works great, and everything's nice and tidy. But as soon as you step across the geolitical fault line to your neighbor, you're dead, because they see it differently than you do. So there has to be some dimension of, if you ever want to talk to your neighbors, there has to be some dimension to an idea that, can you get discipline-wide terms and concepts so that you can get some concurrence? And the National Cooperative Soil Survey has a good starting list, I'll call it, for parent materials with definitions, but it's not the end of the story. You're going to have to, if you go towards some sort of national list, because this IC initiative is expanding and now you're up to the regional part because you've got your surrounding states, and there's no reason to think that you won't continue to expand that. I think you should. But you're going to have to deal with that, otherwise you will be limited in some of the applications you could otherwise have because your neighbors and you don't communicate. There's a scalability aspect, and that is, if you set up a hierarchical framework, it should allow you to move up and down scales to some degree, and that's kind of advantageous too for different kinds of products. So what? So, and lastly, there has to be a maintain some sort of flexibility, so that for those locally defined terms or locally occurring phenomena that some your neighbor doesn't have to deal with and doesn't care about, that you have the flexibility that you can articulate that, capture it, and it can fit into the framework in some fashion so that you're not left out in the cold. And the trick is, of course, you want to get things that are locally relevant and legitimate. They may be cumbersome, but they're useful. They're utilitarian. You want to try to minimize, I think, the colloquial phrases that are just, well, shucks, that's the way we've always called it, and because I'm from Texas, that's how it's going to be. But anyway, so it's kind of a fun give-and-take process. But the overall framework is just a classic hierarchical approach, and I use this just to point out that there is a companion poster that I think you want to look at that Sharon Waltman put together of the parent material list using a hierarchical array that will be on in the poster session later, and you might want to take a look at it. But it's going to have to be, there are multiple levels that are required because of the kind of splits that become locally relevant, and as you have to interact with your neighbors, it's going to come up. So here's just one shot in the dark. In NRCS, the National Cooperative Soil Survey, we have made an attempt, and in the little field book that some of you used, we have categories for parent material, and they're grouped loosely by geomorphic clusters, just for the ease of trying to find these things. And this is the one that shakes out if you look at Aeolian deposits. And so this is really loosely defined and isn't terribly important or utilitarian, but when you get down to the actual types, this is where the bread and butter is, and it's just an example of how you can have different types of specificity. The only in sand at this point in time is it doesn't have any subsets, but LUS does, because in some parts of the world there's calcareous LUS, and that's management implications are important versus those that are non-calcareous. So what it does is it allows us, by looking at this, these are some of the groups that currently exist, and it's not the most important part of what we're looking at. It's just an attempt to try to group things in group like-minded entities. So there's a roster. The bread and butter stuff is at the next levels down when we actually look at the actual types of materials. And this is a fun one because it shows both what is working and what maybe needs some work. So for inorganic deposits, there's the organic materials proper, if you will, of different kinds of breaks that have been recognized in the National Cooperative Soil Survey. But we also included some other materials that are not organic materials per se, but they do include an organic dimension, a component, and therefore it seems that they fit here more appropriately than perhaps in some of the other sets. It's important to appreciate that there's room for growth here. This is not a done thing. This is just more or less a snapshot of what we have at this point in time. These are the materials, these are the terms, these are the concepts that have been applied in the soil inventory program across the country, across the U.S. So in here I've highlighted in yellow where some of these, there are missing levels of information because they just simply haven't come up. And maybe they're not necessary, but it helps to array, because when you go just into these lists on their own, all you're going to get is an alphabetical list, and it's not readily apparent that perhaps this is a subset of that, which is a subset of that. So this process really begs some very interesting questions about how all these things relate or don't. So in closing, this is the parent material map that I mentioned, I think is a tangible expression of some of these ideas of these different categories and their constituents on a first swipe look across the continental U.S. and moving up out of the state and regional context and saying, what are we seeing? What do we say we think we have out here? And I think it's an excellent opportunity to point out where some of the deficiencies are as much as it is to say this is what we know is out there or this is what we believe is there. So I think it has both opportunity as well as utilitarian information right up front. And that's all I have for you today. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Bill. We have time for one or two questions for Phil.
So, Phil, are you going to make a soil systems map for all of the U.S. or just North Carolina?
I think it should be everywhere. I think it's I don't know, we talked about this later in some other sessions, but I think it's the new paradigm for soil inventory information. I think it should be done everywhere personally, and I think that because it has such utilitarian applications, and you're doing it in the IC project in effect. You're combining block diagrams, stratigraphic information. You have a little bit of hydrology information in terms of the drainage classes, but that's a whole other dimension that's readily available that we know about that we can hooked together into a cohesive whole. So I think that the comment that you made about how people are being students, contemporary students are going to be more users of than generators of, we've got to make the links of the information apparent. And I think that's within our ability to do.
Okay, thank you.